First Samuel chapter number 28. As you get your Bibles prepared, for sake of time, let's pick up in verse number 15. Samuel said to Saul, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" Saul answered, "I'm sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do." Then Samuel said, "Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and is become thine enemy?" Let the church say amen. Amen. Father, we are amazed that you love us. But help us not to just be amazed. Help us be moved to action to love you. Calvary love is a causing love. When it hits you, you ought to want to love back. It should be spiritually automatic. Help us to leave here not just amazed, but active, aggressive in doing more for you. Now, the word of the Lord is here today. It's not ambiguous. It's not confusing. Certainly, I pray that it will not be difficult to understand. But as we do every time when we're under it, we'll have the opportunity to hear it and then heed it. Help us not to leave here saying, "Boy, it was sure good to be in church today." And yet, although it was good, we're not good. Help us to leave here having heard a good word, living a good life. And thank you for the Holy Spirit that's already promised to help us do it. Now cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I want to deal with 1 Samuel 28 this morning because I believe that what was happening in this chapter is happening far too often in Christianity today. We are opening our Bibles and looking in on the life of the first king over Israel, King Saul. So how did he get there? Well, he got there because the people of God weren't happy with God being their king. I mean, when you've got the best, anything else is going to be less than the best. The danger of not being satisfied with the best is you're always in for something worse. And so they said to Samuel, "Everybody else has a king. We want to be like them." You grew up, your parents said, "You're not trying to be like everybody else. Everybody else jump off a cliff, you're going to jump off a cliff." Well, why does everybody say that? Because it makes sense. Something that's silly doesn't become less silly just because a bunch of people do it. It's silly because it's silly. And if everybody does it, the smart thing to do is to do what's right. And yet they want a king. And God answers their prayer. I said to my class this morning, be careful what you ask God for. He just might give it to you. So he gives them a king. And the king is Saul. He didn't give them a bad king. He didn't give them a weak king per se. Saul stood head and shoulders above all the rest. As a matter of fact, not only did God give them Saul, but God gave them a soul that he had made over. The Bible said God gave Saul another heart, prepared him to stand before the people of God, prepared him to rule before the people of God. He was anointed, he was chosen, and God was standing with him as long as Saul stood with God. Not 1 year, but 2 years after. I mean, he got in right, and God helped him, and God gave him people that would follow him. 2 years into it, chapter 13, Saul makes a boo-boo. He messed up. There was a victory that had been won by his son Jonathan, and they were waiting for Samuel, God's man, to come back and offer a sacrifice. And Saul starts looking, and Samuel's taking a long time. And Saul knows the priest is supposed to offer, but the priest is taking too long. So Saul steps in the shoes he can't fit. He does the priest job. He said, "What's wrong with doing a priest job?" A whole lot's wrong with it when you're not a priest. I mean, what's wrong with doing a parent's job? A whole lot's wrong with it when you're a child. What's wrong with doing a pastor's job? Whole lot wrong with it if you're a member. Amen. What's wrong with being a man that looks at stuff? Whole lot wrong with it if the stuff you're looking at ain't yours. See, everything's not bad. Not everything is bad, but it becomes bad when you do it and it's not yours to do. So he steps into the prison. And of course, Samuel says, shame on you. You messed up. God is dissatisfied with you. He's going to replace you with a man after God's own heart. That's 2 years into it. By the way, he reigned 40 years, but he messed up 2 years in. And God told him after 2 years in, God's going to remove you. And yet he let him stay there knowing his removal was forthcoming. Chapter 15, God says, go and utterly destroy the Amalekites. What do you mean utterly? I mean everything. Man, woman, child, beast, everything. Was God unclear? Most of the spiritual decisions that we make that are wrong are not because God was unclear. Well, the Bible's got a lot of gray areas in it. Those are not the areas we typically have problems with. Amen. Matter of fact, I've learned in the walk of God that if I do right in the areas that are clear, God would give me more clarity in the areas that were not. If any man will know his will, if he'll do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. You heard what I said. Destroy everybody, man and woman and beast and child. And yet Saul does his own thing. Seems like Saul's got a problem doing his own thing. God rejects him. So Saul is messed up. He's failed God. His days are numbered. His replacement has been chosen. Come on. As a matter of fact, by the time we get to chapter number 28, his replacement has not only been chosen, he's been anointed. David was anointed by Samuel in chapter 16. Wait a minute now. Although he was anointed, he was not ascended to the throne until later. Amen. Sometimes God has already set you for something, but just because he set you for something doesn't mean you have to wait to have it. You don't have to wait to have it. Amen. Sometimes we got to learn how to wait on the Lord. And sometimes we say, God, you said I could have it. Yeah, but not yet. By the time we get to chapter number 28, David's on the run. Saul doesn't like that God's chosen David. Oh, well. Amen. I hate to tell you this, but God doesn't look on his laptop before he makes a decision and investigate whether or not we're going to like it. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. I mean, the Christian life is never trying to get God to do what I like. Amen. It's trying to get me to like what God's doing. Amen. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of thine heart. David's on the run. Matter of fact, he ends up with the Philistines and he's amongst them. And God spares him from having to fight his own people. Thank God that when we doubt God and end up with the wrong people, that God's mercy sometimes lets us get out. But now, chapter number 28, Saul's in trouble. His days are numbered. 2 years in, he messed up. God said, you're going out. Chapter 15, he messes up. God said, you reject me, I reject you. But he's still got a crown. He's still got a robe. He's still got a throne. But his replacement is alive and Saul's trying to kill him. Twice, David catches Saul off guard and could have killed Saul. Amen. But he said, I'll not touch God's anointed. Amen. What God has for you, he has for you, and he'll do it without your help. We got too many commando Christians. They're going to shoot their way into what God has for them. Don't you think if God's good enough to find you out of nothing, that he's good enough to place you into something? Come on now. Hey, if God's got something for you, he doesn't need you to clear the way. He don't need you to knock anybody out. He don't need you to annihilate your competition. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He will strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let the church say amen. So he's in trouble. He's messed up. Oh, he's messed up. Samuel's dead. Saul's in trouble. And in chapter number 28, he needs God. He needs God because he needs guidance. And the guidance he needs, he can only get from God. Somebody say amen to the fact that the guidance we need in this sin-sick world that we are a part of, we can only get from God. Let me tell you something. The world can teach you how to make a living, but only God can teach you how to live. The world can tell you where to get a marriage license, but only God will give you a good marriage. The world can tell you how to get a doctor that will deliver your baby, but only God can tell you how to raise a child. The world will tell you some spots to find some bachelors or some bachelorettes, but only God will tell you how to find someone that has a heart like him. Today we need guidance, and it can only come from God. But he and God aren't connected. So he's going to try to get something from God from some other way but God. And we'll talk about the story in detail, but he's not on good terms with his God. So he's going to go to somebody who he thinks is on good terms with his God, who will give him what he needs from God, because he's not in a position to get it directly from God. Now, son, you're not going to have any of them cookies in the refrigerator because you didn't eat your vegetables. Yes, sir. You understand me? Yes, sir. You get some of that out of that of them cookies after I told you not to, I'm going to beat that cookie out of you. You understand me? Yes, sir. Now, I'll be back a little later this afternoon and we'll talk about it. Get in the car. And mommy walks in the room after daddy leave. Mom, can I have some cookies? Sure, we got some cookies in the jar over there. Go ahead and get some cookies in the jar and it'd be no big deal. Cookies, two cookies, three cookies, four cookies, five cookies. Done warm the cookies up and got a glass of milk. Watch this now. And calling himself safe, because mama gave him authorization. But I'm telling you, he's not safe. Because when mommy says yes to something that daddy already said no to, I don't care what mommy said, you wrong. Not because you disobeyed mama, but because you tried to go around daddy. Somebody help me preach. Now you can pull it off with mama because daddy done left the house. And daddy's not there to watch what you're saying to mama. And mama's not omniscient to know what daddy said to you, because mama and daddy are mere humans that can't see everything and know everything because we're limited. But I'm going to tell you, that game you pull on mama and daddy, you can't pull on God. Why? He's too wise. He's too smart. He's too everywhere. He's too amazing. He's too omniscient. He's too omnipresent. He's too wise. He's too smart. He's too God. For you to try to go around him. I want to preach a message entitled, "You Cannot Go Around God." Well, Pastor, why are you preaching? Because I meet people who don't want to get married right, so they go find a preacher that'll marry them. And you may get a license, but you won't get around God. I find people that don't want to live right, so they go find a church that won't tell them to. Well, you can go find a church that won't tell you to live right, but you can't get around God. Right. I find people that don't like the way the King James Bible sounds, so they go get them a Bible that they like the way it sounds. Yeah. You can get a Bible you like the way it sounds, but you can't get around God. I'm trying to preach this message, but if I had about 18 more amens, I might go along with it. Let me tell you something. I'm telling you, some people don't want godliness, so they'll go somewhere where godliness isn't popular. Listen to me. You can have your carnality advocated, and you can have your sin authorized, but you can't get around God. I'm saying some people don't like hard preaching, so they go somewhere where they're soft preaching, or they stay in the bed and look at somebody preaching on the television. You can get you a television preacher. You can get a prosperity gospel. You get somebody to slap your head and make you forget that your leg hurt, but you can't get around God. You can go down the road, you can go find you somebody tell you what you want to hear, but you can't get around God. Or you can get around me. I'm not that smart. You can get around your husband, and get around your wife, and you can get around your parents, and you can fool this auditorium. But you can't get around God. Everybody here can think you're a good singer, and you're a good teacher, you're a good giver, and you're a good Christian. But the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Come on now. You can put a nice suit on, put a nice tie on, put your sanctified sound on. You can pick up all of the fundamental nomenclature, and you can master all of the Christian terminology. You can hallelujah, glory in the name of Jesus. You can be blessed, highly favored, and claim to speak in tongues. But there comes a day when the eyes of the Lord pierce past that facade, and he says, I want to know, are you living holy? Are you being godly? Are you serving me? Are you in the Bible? Are you on your knees? Do you love God more than you love the praise of man? You can get around the preacher. You can get around your boss. You can get around some people. But somebody help me preach. You can't go around God. Why are you preaching this? Because I want you to stop trying. Amen. We got to do a little bit of an abbreviated service tonight. We got a lot going on. We won't abbreviate this morning, though, because we got a lot going on. So let's look at the story. It begins with a distressful experience. I mean, what's going on? Saul messed up. How's he messed up? Well, first of all, he's got assembling foes. Look what the scripture said. Samuel's dead and the Philistines are gathered together. Verse 4. The enemies are circling around. I'd say that's problems. Come on now. If you serve God long enough, you better be ready for the enemies to circle around. They'll circle around your marriage. They'll circle around your ministry. Come on now. They'll circle around your morality. I hate to tell you, serving God doesn't mean the enemies go away. It just means you got somebody to fight your battles. I said the enemies were assembling. He had some assembling foes. And because of the assembling foes, he had some abounding fears. Notice what the Bible says. Verse 5. Saul saw the host of the Philistines. He was afraid and his heart was greatly trembling. Now watch this now. When enemies get around you, it causes you to be afraid. Why was he afraid? Well, assembling foes and abounding fears caused him to be afraid because of some alarming facts. Now what were the facts that alarmed Saul? Here they were. The Lord answered him not. Dreams. Oh, well, can't get no dream. I'll check the Urim. The Urim was a light. We don't know if it was a stone or a stick or something that was in the priest's breastplate. And it was an instrument that was used to gather the mind of God. So when the king didn't know what to do, he could go to the priest Urim and Thummim and find out what God was saying. Well, Saul said, I can't get a dream. Let me check the Urim. No, there's nothing there either. Well, let me ask the prophet. The prophets ain't saying nothing either. I'd like to tell you, that's distressing. You say God was being mean. No, God was being fair. Why? Why wouldn't God talk to Saul? Because the last several times he had, Saul wouldn't listen. Now, here's the danger of being in a position where God's not answering you. What you going to do? What you going to do when that child rebels? You can't get an answer from God. What you going to do when that marriage is on the rocks? You can't get an answer from God. What you going to do when your money gets funny? You can't get an answer from God. What you going to do when you're standing in an unemployment line trying to pay your bills? You can't get an answer from God. See, that's what Saul failed to realize. God is not a genie that you rub the bottle from when you need help. God's somebody you walk with every day. So when you need help, you're on good terms. So there's a distressing experience in the life of Saul. He's got problems. And not a God to help him. Number two, his distressing experience led him to a deceptive endeavor. Well, God's not answering, but I got these enemies around me and I don't know what to do with them. And since God won't answer me back, let me find somebody who can get me in touch with somebody else who's in touch with God and see if that somebody that gets me in somebody else who's in touch with God will get that somebody in touch with God to answer me back. So who are you going to get, Saul? I'm going to get me a witch. Bewitch, y'all. It's too old for some of the young people. That's a different one, isn't it? Genie. Okay, we're going to get a witch. You're going to get me a witch. A medium. Watch. Something devilish to get me connected to God. I'm going to go to the devil because the devil can get me in touch with a Christian and the Christian can get me in touch with God. I'd never call anybody stupid, but doing that is stupid. And yet he's going to, y'all find me a witch. Fellas, find me a woman with a familiar spirit. That's a lot of words for a witch. They still got some out there. I'm talking about real devilishly involved witches. Seances and palm readers and soothsayers and psychics. Familiar spirits. Yeah. Familiar with the devil. I ain't familiar with God. Oh yeah, there's one in Endor. Not Endora, Endor. So let's go see her. Now go back in your text if you would. I want you to read some. The Bible says in verse number three. Now Samuel was dead and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. Look at the next phrase, sentence if you would. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and those wizards out of the land. Now Saul had made a decree already that if you were a witch or a wizard, you either had to be exiled or killed. Saul made that law. And now when Saul was in trouble, he went to the people that he had prohibited. Oh, help me preach. You let people be right with God, they'll preach against everything. You let them fall out with God, they will go to the stuff they used to preach against. Go to the churches they used to condemn. Go to the activities they used to gossip about people for being involved in. Find me a witch. I thought witches weren't allowed to practice by your decree. Don't pay no attention what I decreed. That was a different day. So he went to a prohibited source with a pretentious scheme, disguised himself. I don't want her to know who I am. Put on other raiment. Two men went with him and came to the woman by night. Don't go during the day. Go when it's most inconspicuous. Amen. That tells me he knew he was doing wrong. Because he waited until the nighttime to do it. What are you preaching, Pastor? I'm preaching. I'm glad you're at church this morning. But I wonder where you were last night. You don't have to tell me now. Tell it to Jesus. Amen. Why? Not because he doesn't know. Because it's good for you to let him know that you know he already knows. Pretentious scheme. A pitiful solicitation. I want her to divine unto me. I pray thee divine unto me by the familiar spirit. Bring him up whom I shall name unto thee. Ma'am, I'd like you to conjure up from the grave or from wherever he is the person I name you. What is this devilish stuff? He's going to the woman to conjure up a face, a name. Pitiful solicitation. You're the king of the armies of the living God. And you're going down to the devil's domain to get guidance. The domain that you decreed prohibited. And she says, whoa, wait a minute. Notice the precarious scene here. I can't do that. Behold, thou knowest what Saul had done. She didn't know that the Saul that had done this was the Saul that hath speaketh to her. Notice what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to... Look, this is
the witch. This is what she does.
It's like pulling up to McDonald's and saying, can I have a burger? And they go, how dare thou comest here and askest for a burger? You understand what I'm saying? It's like going to Baskin Robbins and saying, do you have ice cream? How dare you come into Baskin Robbins and ask for ice cream? I mean, you don't go to Baskin Robbins and ask for ice cream and they get mad at you. That's what they serve. You go to McDonald's, ask for a burger and get mad. I mean, it's not really beef, but I mean, it's still a burger. I mean, you don't go to McDonald's, ask for a burger. And I pulled up Taco Bell one time. We out of town. Me and Bethany, I was preaching somewhere. We headed back home and I pulled up Taco Bell, which you really should never do. Pull up the Taco Bell because you have all kinds of bells ringing all night. But I pulled up there. I pulled up Taco Bell and I asked for a taco. You know what they said to me? We don't have any meat. You know what I did? I left the window and pulled up, left the screen thing we ordered from, pulled up to the window. I said, you're joking. No, sir. You can't not have meat. See, when Taco Bell doesn't have meat, they need to put clothes sign up. How you going to serve a taco with no meat? McDonald's told me we ran out of ketchup. I said, no, you didn't. You're lying. You can't run out of ketchup. You'll run out of chairs before you run out of ketchup. Are you understand what I'm saying? Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm saying when you ask a witch to do what a witch does, the witch doesn't go, I can't do it. Unless the witch who works for the devil got more sense than you who work for God. See, when the world don't want to help you with God's stuff, something's wrong with your Christianity. You show up in a worldly place and they say, I'm not really supposed to serve you. You want them saved, okay? You ordered what? With what in it? How many? Last time you here, you put one of them pamphlets on the table with your pastor's picture on it. Baldwin, wasn't it? No, that wasn't me. I didn't leave nothing. My pastor's not Baldwin. I don't know no Baldwin. See, oftentimes your lifestyle will force you to lie. When I say force, I don't mean you have to. I just mean if you're going to continue that lifestyle, you have to, or otherwise one's going to contradict the other. Now, listen to me. Here you have a devilish woman giving advice to a Christian man. I can't be doing witch stuff to you, sir. I mean, we've been shut down in the kingdom. You didn't hear the decree? My business has been closed. Watch this now. The government shut us down. And there's nothing on the docket that says they're going to vote on reopening us. This is what she's saying. And that's what your friends are saying when you call them up on a Saturday night to do something devilish when they know you're a Christian. I thought you don't fool with us. You start saying a word that they say, woo. Isn't it amazing how the world has a problem with us doing the same thing they do? They don't have a problem with them doing it because that's what they do. But they have a problem with us doing it because we told them that's what we don't do. And then he goes, if you would, with a particular search. Please bring it up. I just need you to bring me up Samuel. And watch this now. Presumptuous security he offers her. I promise you. Verse 10. As the Lord liveth, the nerve. As the Lord liveth, ma'am, in the name of Jehovah, thou shalt not be punished. So you're going to use God's name when it's convenient. In the name of Jehovah,
he ain't talking to me right now. I called him through on three different phone lines. He didn't answer nail one of them. But in the name of Jehovah that liveth, I lied, messed up. I messed with the priest's job back in the one chapter, failed to kill the people in chapter number 15. He's already rejected me. My replacement is about to sit on the throne trying to kill him. Can't find the guy. But in the name of Jehovah, we haven't talked in weeks and months, been robbing him for the last 4 weeks. But in the name, listen to me, don't be calling God's name to give somebody security when you and God aren't on speaking terms. Please, please get me Samuel. Samuel who? The same one that you wouldn't listen to? They call back. They may not call you, but they'll call somebody that you run with, trying to get the answer you used to give them. Because they're in trouble. See what the devil doesn't tell you. He tells you that serving him is more fun. But he doesn't tell you that there's a ceiling. And that ceiling can't be exceeded. See, the devil can only take you so far. The devil can't get you where God can get you. The world can't get you where Christianity can get you. Come on now. Pleasure can't get you where principle will get you. Tradition can't get you where truth can get you. Good won't get you where grace can get you. Come on now. Nobody can take you where God's going to take you. Help me. Get me Samuel. I wouldn't listen to him while he was alive. Bring him up from the dead. Number three, divine exposure. I'm hastening. You want who? I'd like Samuel. And the Bible said, verse number 12, when the woman saw Samuel, you know, you can make your decision whether she saw a presentation of him, whether that was really him. The Bible says she saw Samuel. So somehow God let Samuel appear at least in that sight. You know what I believe? That when Samuel showed up, Samuel told her, that's Saul. I believe it. Look, notice what the Bible said. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. Now, I'm not definitive about this, but I just have a feeling that when Samuel pulled up, he said, woman, you know who that is right there? That's the king that fired you trying to rehire you. Oh, my goodness. Thou art Saul. Why hast thou deceived me? Pastor, what you doing? I'm telling you, the hound dogs of heaven have hunted him down. He's up a tree and they're standing down at the bottom. Listen to me. You can run, but you can't hide. The hound dogs of heaven will hunt you down. Eventually, you'll be exposed. Immediate revelation. I know who you are. God can see through your disguise. Ironic reassurance. Oh no, ma'am. Don't worry about that. You're going to be okay. How are you going to give her assurance? Insecure restlessness. What do you mean restlessness? Obviously, Saul must have been in a different room than what she was in, so because he couldn't see. But look at him like a little kid standing in the line for a roller coaster. What you see? What you see? What you see? What's all this doubt? Verse number 13. Be not afraid. Don't worry, sister. It's all good. He's trying to help her in her witchery. Watch this now. It's okay. It's okay. You're going to be just fine. Why? Because I need to find out what you can see. Watch this now. What's that you see? What's all this doubt? The woman said, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. What? Verse 14. What is the form he of? And she, listen to me. When you get out of the will of God and you start running to the world, you'll be calling them every 5 minutes. Nervous. Did you find anything? Did you get out there? Hurry up now, hurry up, hurry up now. It's nighttime, but the sun coming out soon. What you see, what you see, what you see? Living for God will never make you restless. Boy, if you come to church restless. What was the message on? You might be living in sin. insulting request. Here comes Samuel. He bowed himself. Oh, now you want to bow. 15. Why hast thou disquieted me? I mean, what have you brought me into your confusion for? Interrogating rebuke. I'm sore distressed. The Philistines may, God has departed from me and answered me no more with prophets and dreams. Therefore I have called thee and thou makest me known what I shall do. I mean, God won't answer, so you the next best thing? See, the smart thing to do from a worldly standpoint, when you don't want people to know who you are, is to ask somebody who can't tell. Help me. I didn't know what else to do. Watch this now. I'm out of the will of God. I'm not living right. I'm not in my Bible. I'm not obedient. I'm not a servant, but my back's against the wall. So I called you. You ever get calls like that? You don't get them? You want some of mine? People don't call you who you tried to help do right. And then after they find out that wrong only gets them so far, they call you trying to get you to help them with righteousness, even though they won't live it. Are you listening to me? God's not a psychic. God's not a fortune cookie. God said you want to be, you want to get something from me, then you live for me. And this is the question where we draw our message from. Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and is become thine enemy? Here's what the preacher man said. Why are you asking me to help you when you're not on good terms with God? Why do you expect me, a servant of God, to be your friend when you and God are enemies? By the way, that's a holy position for Samuel to take. What's the position? In other words, here's the position. I, as a child of God, will not side with anybody that God is standing against. Come on now. See, if you don't act like you agree with that, you may be silently pledging your allegiance. Listen, we're in the end times. And the devil will convince us that just because we're not engaging in the activity, that we're not guilty by association. Amen. Is anybody listening to me? God help us. We got to get some children of God that say, I'll side with who sides with God. And I'll side against who stands against God. Enough of this passivity. Enough of this neutralism. Neutrality. Enough of this, well, my name's Bennett and I ain't in it and I don't want to offend anybody. Let me tell you something. The devil doesn't mind offending Christ. The world doesn't mind offending morality. The world doesn't mind offending marriage. The world doesn't mind offending holiness. God give us men, women, boys, and girls who will stand like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Where do you stand? I stand against God. Who do you stand against? I stand against anybody God stands against. I'm not talking about being ugly. I'm not talking about being nasty. I'm not talking about being rude. I'm talking about being principally oriented, obedient children of God that have more than talk and actually some walk. I saw somebody walking down the road this week. I hadn't seen in several years. How you doing? How you doing? You know what he didn't ask me? He didn't ask me where I'd been. He knew. I asked him where he'd been. It was jail. I'm just being honest. You don't know who I'm talking about. He said, in jail, and if all doesn't go well in a couple weeks, I'm headed back. And then he said, I said, y'all come to church. I ain't been to church, but I've been listening. That's what he said. He said, oh, you sure have been preaching some mean ones. I said, yeah, same stuff I was preaching before you went to jail. Now, I'm not bragging on my preaching. I don't think I'm a great preacher, but I think I got a great Bible. Now, listen to me. You go around this auditorium and find some of them. 25 years ago in Bellis Cross, I was walking down the street. I was preaching the same thing I'm preaching today. Am I telling the truth? Some of them didn't want to hear it. You know why they didn't want to hear it? Because they were free. And then when they got in problems, I got an automated call. This is a call from the Fairfax County Department of Corrections. Well, don't call me from prison if you didn't want to listen to me from freedom. One guy had the bondsman call me and say, would you sign my house away? Sign your house away to get me out of prison? Absolutely not. I didn't even take the call the next time. Number one, he probably wouldn't show the court I lose my house. Number two, why should God bail you out when defying him is what got you in? Now, let's be careful lest we think that prisoners and addicts and gangbangers and those kind of people are the only people guilty of these kind of... This is the King of Israel. I said, this is the King of Israel. See, when sin gets you in a mess, don't expect the Savior to get you out. Can't go around him. I said, you can't go around him. Just because he doesn't know you living together doesn't mean because he marries you, God doesn't know. You're getting quiet on me. Flee fornication and you for lust. Just because I think I got one more point on here. Just because the rest of them don't know you how you talk doesn't mean God doesn't know. Just because the choir director can't hear your playlist don't mean God can't hear. Just because you unfriend a godly church member doesn't mean some of your friends haven't told the godly unfriended church member kind of mess you done. Pastor, I don't like this kind of preaching. You wouldn't have enjoyed Samuel. And you sure wouldn't have enjoyed Jesus. Well, he said, don't cast the first stone. Yeah, and then he looked at the woman that he had just run off her accusers and said, go down and sin no more. You can't quote Jesus on the first half if you didn't quote him on the back half. He was a lover of sinners, but he was a hater of sin. Somebody help me preach. Amen. That's why I'm still against rap music and I'm still against partying and dancing and drinking and smoking and toasting. Well, you're one of them narrow-minded preachers. Well, it's what's in the cup. No, it's the practice. I don't care if you're toasting grape juice. Amen. That stuff comes from the world. Oh my goodness, pastor's lost his mind. No, I'm just a Bible believer. I'm just a Bible believer. I'm not going to let the manufacturers change the meaning of modesty. And I'm not going to let the talk show host change the meaning of marriage. Amen. I'm not going to let the politicians decide when life begins. Somebody help me preach. I'm not going to let the psychologists dismiss away rebellion. I'm not going to let the doctors medicate a lack of submission to authority. I'm not going to let the television evangelists rewrite the meaning of the body of Christ. And I'm certainly not going to let self-proclaimed theologians come up with a new Bible. I'll stick with the old-fashioned way. Amen. That's the pastor of this church. Yeah. I believe it. It works. Boy, got me this far. Glory to God. Got me this far. I didn't have to try nothing of the world. I didn't have to run down none of the worldly way streets. I had friends that went down there. It looked good. It sounded good. They broke down. They fell in a ditch. They got in a big mess of problem. I'll tell you, that straight old-fashioned, holy, godly, righteous, sanctified, separated way, it got me to this pulpit. It got me a godly wife. It got me a family. It set me in the will of God. To whom shall I go? I saw a bunch of them. They waved at me when they took the detour. We'll see you at the finish line. And then they called me from the ditch. Pastor, it didn't turn out that well. They knew I didn't change my number. Dial that same old number. I got out, first number I called was yours. Call on Jesus. Amen. You get right with him, you'll be right with me. But you can't go around him. Are you listening to me? Children, listen to me. The devil will be out there waving your way. Come on this way. Join in this activity. Espouse this kind of behavior. Advocate it right because the world says it's right. Be popular. Get you a bunch of friends and they'll all ditch you. You can't go around God. And we're there's too much of that in Christianity today. Trying to bypass God. Like he doesn't know the bypass. There he is. You ever tried to take a shortcut and ran into a cop? Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody here. I can make a turn even though it said no turn. I turned right in New York a couple years ago on red. I mean, I looked to make sure I stopped and turned right. Whoop, whoop. He pulled me aside. I said, what's the problem, officer? He said, you turned right on red. I said, what's the problem with that? Can't do that in New York. You know that, don't you? You from New York. Why don't you tell your pastor that? It's all right. You can't go around God. They're gonna hunt you down. And I thought he was gonna be kind because the church I was preaching at had an officer in the church who was training the officers to be kind to tourists. Nope. Not this one. I'm going to preach at a church. I'm on my way to service. I'm from Northern Virginia. James on my license plate. Well, good. He wrote that ticket, didn't blink an eye. You know why? You know what he's telling me? You're guilty. You can't turn right on red, but I didn't know better. You still can't turn right on red. Now, if the cop gonna give me a ticket when I didn't know better, why should God write off the ticket when you know better? Now, you remember Crossroads Baptist Church. You sit under Bible preaching. Why? Because I listen to the Word of God. And I do my best to preach the Word of God. And I'm not perfect, but I'm not fake. Now, you know the truth. Now, tomorrow, there'll be satanic mercenaries out there trying to convince you that the straight and narrow way is not the only way to success. Here's what the devil will say. Come my way, you'll get there faster, you'll get there quicker, and you'll get there a whole lot more easily. Now, be careful. Be careful. Because just because it's nighttime, and you at a witch's house who's got closed down by government on the outside of her house doesn't mean that God at midnight didn't spot you walking in. And it could be who the devil conjures up is getting advice from God. What are you doing here? Oh, Samuel, oh, it's so good to see you. No, it ain't good to see me. I'm telling you the same thing that God wouldn't answer you would have told you. Don't come friending me when you enemies with him. I want every Christian to be honest with ourselves because we're all going to be tempted in this regard. Let's conclude where Saul had to conclude. By the way, the last point was a disgraceful ending. He got killed. By the way, his sons got killed. And then he got killed. He got wounded so bad that he didn't want to die a miserable death, that he told his armor bearer to kill him and the armor bearer wouldn't, so he killed himself. So when you get so far away from God, you give up spiritually. You just lay on the sword. I'm so far out of the will of God, ain't no use in coming back to church. Let me just lay on the sword. And then they took him after he was dead and humiliated him, cut his head off, hung it up for everybody to look. Let me tell you something. If you go down that way in Christianity, you will be a humiliation for the cause of Christ. Amen. Long after you fall out of church, you'll be hurting people that are still sensing the residual of your failure. And your family will be hurt. Your kids will be hurt. And you'll be out of church for 10 years. They'll still be mocking what you did. What a sad way to end. Started off as the son of Kish, being a king that God gave another heart and ended by taking his own life. Why? He tried unsuccessfully what far too many Christians try. And I'm here to tell you, it won't work. You cannot go around God. Our Father, help us. Help us, God. And forgive us for trying. I'm for the God way. It's not going to change. It's not, God, you are not consulting Fox News or CNN as to how the Bible should be edited. It's not going to change. You're still holy God. You're still a righteous God. Help us. Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If you know it, would you raise your hand? I'm saved and I know it. Let me put your hands down. Pastor, God has convicted me this morning. Would you raise your hand? All over the building. God spoke with me this morning. God bless you all over the building. Now let's do something about it. For the glory of God. And listen to me, beloved. Anything that's for the glory of God ultimately will be for your good. I promise you. God's not going to glorify himself and try to hurt you. He's trying to help you. Holiness is never going to hurt you. It's going to help you. One more question, Pastor. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I don't want to go to hell. Listen, we got people all over the world today that are drowning in depression and sin, and it breaks my heart to see them, and the devil wants to destroy them, but God wants to give you life and have it more abundantly. Say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I'll not embarrass you. Call your name out. I simply want to pray for you. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand? I promise you I'll not call your name out. All I want to do is pray for you. Anybody like that? Would you put your hand up long enough for me to see it? Anybody at all? Anybody at all? There's a hand there. God bless you, ma'am. Someone else. Someone else. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Let's stand together all over the building. Father, would you bless the invitation time, and would you get glory from it? In Jesus' name. Amen.